Or Scott P. And now we'll have Richard J.
Hi. My name is Richard, and I am an addict. You know, it's interesting that that this is a topic, because I was a good student. I was smart as hell at school. You couldn't tell me nothing. I could actually skip math and go back just to take a test and pass it. But Narcotics Anonymous is a little bit different. Since coming here, I have to give Narcotics Anonymous a lot of credit, because I truly believe that it saved my life. It actually postponed my funeral. When I got here, there's a gentleman in the back who's now my sponsor, Jonathan B., who told me that, I was 52 when I got here, he told me that, my old ass, you might want to get a physical, because you used for a long time. And I did that. He's my first teacher in Narcotics Anonymous, because he told me that I needed to get a physical. And I found out that I had a lot of shit going on inside of me. I had high cholesterol. I was diabetic. I had to sleep with a mask on my face, which I found out later wasn't sexy. And I had to get a new set of furniture for my mouth. I learned that from New York, that furniture thing. But I got through all of that stuff. I got through all of it, and at one point I did ask my higher power, why did he get me clean if he was going to take me through all of that? And it's interesting, he could answer you either right away, or he could answer you and tell you, you know, he could answer you later, but he told me right away that it was some more shit coming down. A few years after I got off my insulin, Lipitor, and all that other medicine, I mean, I stopped wearing the mask because, like I said, it wasn't sexy, and I had gotten into a relationship. So, I went to the doctor, and he told me that I had stomach cancer, and that it was progressive, and he needed to get in there right away. They cut out half my stomach, but they told me that if it ever came back, it would be fatal. Last year, it came back in stage 4. This is why I say Narcotics Anonymous postponed my life. Because if it had come back while I was out there using, at the end of my addiction, I smoked crack. I would have been looking for some shit Scott dropped. Because I didn't drop shit when I was smoking. But I wasn't. I wasn't smoking anything. And it came back, they had to cut out the rest of my stomach. They made took part of my small intestines and made a little pouch so food can stop and I can get some nutrients. Now, one of the things I used to say when I got here was, I know, I know, I know, I know. I used to say, but, and when you try to tell me something, I put in a but. And I remember my sponsor said, the only thing come out of a but is shit, right? So, I've learned that you have to be careful what you pray for. I've always wanted to do one of these workshops. That was my dream since day one. I wanted to come up here and be a big boy and do one of these workshops. When I got asked to do this workshop, as I got closer to this date, I got nervous as hell, right? I ain't scared of nothing, right? So, yesterday, I had some things going on inside of me. And I ended up in an ambulance at the hospital, and I don't even know what that county is. And they, you know, ran tests, they put dye in me, they even gave me something for pain, they gave me something for the nausea in my stomach. And come to find out, I was constipated. My wife said I was full of shit. That's not the first time she said that either. So I'm still learning. You know, one of the things that I found out about being a student is before I can open myself up to learn, that I had to be open-mindedness. I had to get rid of some of these things that I learned out on the street. I had to unlearn to learn. And for a guy who knows it all, you know, I didn't do the jail thing because I knew how to hustle. I applied the same hustle principles to some legitimate stuff. I talked people into refinancing their house when they didn't have to refinance and got them in trouble. I'm the reason that the mortgage industry is the way it is. I talked you guys into getting out of a fixed rate mortgage, which you were doing all right with, to get into a loan where it was going to go up in 4 or 5 years and it would put you in a bad situation. So I didn't do the jail thing. But that don't mean that I wasn't locked up, because I was locked up in my addiction. I made over $100,000 a year at one point, and I didn't have a car. I had sold my Gators for a $20 bag. When I came into treatment, I did go the treatment route. I came into treatment with all my stuff in one of them garbage bags from a psych ward. As smart as I am, I'm coming from a psych ward. And in that treatment facility, that was the first time I ever heard that you didn't have to use again. And it's interesting because she's right over there. The lady who told me that, Karen, is right over there. She told me that. That I didn't have to ever use again. She didn't just tell me that. She told everybody. But I was, of course, she was talking to me, right? And I remember that to this day. I was a student when I got here, but I wasn't always willing to listen to what you guys had to say. Every day that I stay clean, I hear more and more and more. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about where my background is. My background is from 14th and Girard, Chapin, Florida Avenue. I lived in walking distance of 14th and T and 7th and T. And we were talking, Rico and I, we were talking earlier today about sometime when I first got in the rooms, I used to hear people share about them going, them hanging out on 7th and T. So a lot of those guys that used to say that, I used to say to Rico, you ever seen them on 17? And you say if they came to 17, they came to 17, got in their car, got what they wanted, and they left. We lived in walking distance. We could, I mean, that was like our playground. I started using at the age of either 12, 13, 11, 14. I don't remember. What I remember is when I stopped. I was 52 years old when I got here, and I used everything. I said earlier I did my addiction, I smoked crack, but for real, I didn't smoke crack, I smoked coke. There's a difference. I don't want you to think I'm a crackhead. I smoked coke. And I had a teacher who taught me how to smoke coke. And I remember one night he was not there and I was trying to cook it myself. And I could not smoke in a place that had those popcorn ceilings. Because one night when my teacher wasn't there and I started cooking and I held a little glass thing up, it burst. And all of my shit went up on the ceiling. I had splinters of glass all in my forehead, but I'm looking up at the ceiling, and my buddy Dwight, I would look at him, and he'd look at me because I done fucked up our last package. And I said, "Hand me one of the butter knives." Hand me that chair right there. And we scraped and we tasted it. As I handed it down to him, he did one of these numbers. By the time I got out of the chair, he had tasted all of the shit that I had scraped up off the ceiling. So I hear people talk about they're looking on the floor. I remember being in a hotel room with this girl, and I'm looking on the floor, and I'm also looking up at the ceiling. And she's asking me, can she get another hit? And I'm looking up and looking down. She thinks I'm saying yes. When I got finished looking up and looking down and wanting to get another hit, it was all gone. This shit is too much fun. I don't ever want to go back to where I came from. I love this program. I'm happy because of this program. My ringtone on my wife's phone is that happy song. I can't dance off of it, but I like to hear it because I don't know what kind of rhythm it's got in it. Now, one of the things I got to share this with you, I want to share it with the guys, actually, because this is something that they really need to think about. When I got my stomach cut out, I didn't need Viagra no more. I didn't need none of those things. So, fellas, if you're on Viagra and all that stuff, students, get your stomach cut out. You feel like you're 25 all over again. Ladies, talk your husband into getting their stomachs cut out. It worked for me. A lot of times when I'm sharing in a meeting, I always talk longer than what the time that they allow. But a half an hour is a long time to talk. And I'm afraid I like to lie. I mean, let me put it this way. I used to like to lie. But since coming into the program, I don't lie no more. The program has been very, very good for me. I mean, if it can stop me from lying, it could stop you from lying. Students, I'm being a teacher right now. You know, it's funny because when I first shared that about that Viagra, Kenny over there, the guy right there, he said he gonna get his stomach taken out. And I remember this other guy told me, I don't see him in here, but he said, I'm just gonna keep taking Viagra. I wish I could still take it. But there's a lot of joy in being clean. There's a lot of joy in being open-minded and being able to listen to someone who's trying to give you some good, orderly direction. I've learned that the teacher, I asked my sponsor about this particular topic, and he said the thing about the teacher is always there. The teacher is always there. It's the student that's the problem. Me being a student, like I said, I had to learn how to open my mind. I had to stop judging. I had to unlearn all the things I had learned in the streets and become willing to allow myself to be teachable all over again. And it's a piece of work because, you know, I have to learn how to live in this without a stomach all over again as well. I have issues, and I don't always like those issues. If I eat and I drink at the same time, I may shit on myself, and that's a very uncomfortable position to be in. And I don't feel good about sharing that, you know. But I'm, you know, I hope I help somebody. I cry, but there are tears of joy. I can remember coming home. I was working in Annapolis, and I live in Silver Spring, so I used to have a lot of quiet time when I drive. And I can remember that my dad who I didn't really get along with because he used to hit on my mother. As a matter of fact, he put me out of the house when I was 18 because I told him that if he ever hit her again, that I would kill him. And I must have had this look in my face because I had already started stealing and smoking drugs around that time. Well, not smoking drugs, but doing drugs around that time. And I must have had this look in my face because he's never ever put his hands on her again. But he and I always had like a relationship where we kind of tolerated one another. But he passed away a few years ago. He died right after I had my first surgery. And I remember when he came into the hospital and he looked at me and he looked at my sister and he said, "Richard is really sick." After I came out of the hospital, we found out that he had lung cancer and he had 6 months to live. And after he passed away, as I'm driving from Annapolis to Silver Spring, in my quiet moment, I hear this voice say to me, "You know your dad gave his life for yours." And I immediately said, "I forgive you, Dad." But at the same time, I was there to see him transition. I know if I had walked into a hospital and seen one of my kids in that position, I would have made the same deal. He got a chance to see me clean, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And as a result of him seeing me clean, he knew that I could lead the family, the rest of the family, into the right direction. I didn't want that responsibility. I'm somewhat called a patriarch of the family now because I'm the oldest. Because I still have issues. There's still some things that I have to learn. I still need God. I still need you all. I still need stuff. You know, I haven't gotten this thing yet. And I don't think I ever will. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with never, ever being able to get this thing. I am so thankful for this convention. This is my 11th convention. On June the 6th this year, I will have 11 years. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. I've gone through the 12 steps. I sponsor people. One of the reasons that I went through the 12 steps was so that I could be a teacher, basically. I have sponsees that expect me to teach them or walk them through the steps using my own experience, using the experience of my sponsor and my Rico, people like that, my predecessors. Listening to what Scott had to say and taking something from that. I would paraphrase some of that shit later on, though. That was some good shit Scott was talking about. Before you know it, I'm going to have a jail story. Yeah, well, we're going to try it out with Les. I believe Les got a wire on because he's always following me. Somebody search him, make sure he ain't wired. But anyway, thank you guys. How much time we got? We got a lot of time. 20 minutes. We may have to open this meeting up. If I keep on talking, I'm going to start lying. Thank you guys for letting me share. Great.